It's nothing new for seniors to get discounts, but did you know that one of them can save you money on healthcare costs? Hi, I'm Rob West. It's true, and the senior discount I'm talking about is a whole lot better than reduced price movie tickets or haircuts. Lauren Gydeck joins us today with all the details, and then it's on to your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's always a pleasure to have Lauren Gydeck with us. She's Vice President of Communications and Media at Christian Healthcare Ministries, where they have a great opportunity for seniors to make their dollars go further. Lauren, great to have you with us on the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me back on the show.
Absolutely. And Lauren, before we get into the program you call Senior Share, tell us about the need for something like this.
Sure. I recently heard a disturbing statistic that nearly 1 in 10 adults, which would be about 23 million people all over the country, owe some kind of medical debt. And if you think about it, you know, for your listening audience, that means probably quite a few people that you know are struggling with medical debt. So that's something that at Christian Healthcare Ministries, we want to come alongside people and help them kind of live a different reality and not have medical debt.
Absolutely. And it's bad enough for younger folks not to have adequate coverage, but worse for seniors, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. You know, as we age, the tendency for our medical bills to go up, for us to receive more medical care, also goes up. And unfortunately, you know, even if you have Medicare, you're sometimes left with additional costs because Medicare doesn't always cover 100% of your health care. So if you think about a relatively normal medical incident, you could end up with hundreds or maybe even thousands of dollars that you still owe out of your pocket.
Yeah. And that's significant. Now, Lauren, if you're already a member, continuing in a Christian Healthcare Ministries plan when you turn 65 is seamless, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. So as our members approach retirement age, you know, they can rest assured if they're already a member of CHM, they can stay on. We send them a letter. We let them know, hey, you know, you're turning 65 soon. We see that's happening. But did you know that you can still be part of Christian Healthcare Ministries with no interruption? So that's really a nice thing. And then, you know, people who haven't joined I obviously can jump on board when they get to be that age or even before, because we serve all ages.
Very good. But there's an added advantage for seniors, and let's talk about it. You call it Senior Share. What do we need to know?
Yeah, so Senior Share is our program for members 65 and older, and it's our gold program, so it's the best one that we have. But the best thing about it is that there's what we call a gift reduction. So Christian Healthcare Ministries is not insurance, but basically it's a discount that you would get off your monthly amount that you would pay. And that can begin the month of your 65th birthday. And there's really nothing special you have to do to receive that lower price, which is $115 per month.
Oh, that's incredible. What a blessing for those in that season of life. And no doubt that'll be a big help, especially for those on a fixed income trying to meet their healthcare costs. Lauren, how can folks get more information about this?
Well, they can go to our website, which is chministries.org, chministries.org, or they can give us a phone call, and we'd be happy to answer any questions they might have.
Awesome. And for anyone looking to cover the rising costs of healthcare, this is a great option, isn't it? And it's a biblical option.
Yes, absolutely. We're biblically based 100%.
And Lauren, as we wrap up here, for those who want to go on Senior Share, do they have to have Medicare A and B in order to do so?
Yes, that's correct. Medicare would be considered the first resource or the first payer, and then Christian Healthcare Ministries is available to assist with those costs we talked about earlier. You know, that would be what Medicare would not pay.
Excellent. Well, this has been really helpful, and I know it'll be a valuable offering for so many in our listening audience. Lauren, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Lauren Gydeck has been with us. She's with Christian Healthcare Ministries. The website again, chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Sometimes we read things in the Bible that make us scratch our heads. Proverbs 6:16 lists seven things that the Lord hates. Usually, we expect lists like the fruit of the Spirit, positives that the Lord delights in. But we learn a lot about our God's character when we look at what He hates, too. Haughty eyes. The Lord desires humility, not arrogance. A lying tongue. The Lord is the truth. His word is truth. Shedding innocent blood. The Lord defends the weak. Wicked schemes. Feet that rush into evil. The Lord calls us to rush into grace. A compulsive liar. A person who stirs up conflict. These are anti-fruit. But in Christ, we can please the Lord. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Have you thought about the fact that we live in the most prosperous nation the world has ever seen, and yet fear, confusion, and guilt related to finances are common at every income level? Why is that? Why are we so discontent? Well, I submit it's because we're not looking at God's money through a biblical worldview. We have to apply a biblical worldview or lens to all facets of our lives. That includes our finances, and we want to help you do that each day on this program. So glad you're along with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, and we'll be taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. So give us a call with whatever you're thinking about. We've got some lines open for you. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you and answer whatever you've been thinking about over the weekend and apply biblical wisdom. You know, when we look at God's Word, we see principles and practical ideas that we can literally apply to every facet of our financial lives. And here's what we can know to be true. You know, in the midst of these uncertain times where we have seemingly unlimited investment and financial decisions and choices to make, we can count on God's word that it's always right, it's always relevant, it's never going to change. Doesn't matter the tax code or the interest rates, these are timeless principles from the creator of the universe that we can apply to the decisions and choices we're making. So Give us a call. Tell us what you're thinking about. 800-525-7000. Let's head to the phones. Wayne in Texas. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Rob. Good morning, Rob. This is Wayne. I'm doing great, and it's good to hear your show. I haven't listened to it for a number of years since Dan Filia was doing it.
Great.
However, I'm coming up on full retirement, I guess you could call it. I was in the military for 26 years. I continued to work for the Army for another 20 years until they laid me off due to COVID or whatever their excuse was for laying me off.
Yeah.
And not being able to jump right back into the workforce, I ended up completely retiring. I filed for Social Security and did that whole gamut. And then got hired to work. So I'm back to work and on Social Security. So that's kind of where I'm at financially. However, in just a few months, I turn 65. And so Medicare is upon me and all of that. And as I explained to the girl that answered the phone, I was listening to the bit about senior share. And I think I've pretty well got that piece of it covered, you know, the supplement after Medicare pays.
Yes.
'Cause being retired military, I'm currently in the TRICARE system, and then I'll transfer to TRICARE for life at 65.
Yes.
So having said all that, what is your advice going forward to apply for Medicare? And any other things I might need to do to successfully retire.
Yeah. So you feel like you have a good handle on what your retirement will, your military retirement will be, and you've checked your VA status and all that goes with that, correct?
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the VA recommends, of course, that retired veterans sign up for Medicare, so you'll want to do that. When you reach age 65, which is obviously just around the corner, have you looked at the income that you're expecting to receive and compared that against your retirement budget, Wayne, just to get a sense of whether you're going to be able to cover all of your expenses on a monthly basis?
Well, yeah, I think my expenses are going to be covered. I am about ready to pay off my house. I can pay it off anytime. I'm kind of debating on when to do that. So, and that's really the last remaining bill of any size that I have. We pretty much keep our credit cards caught up, and so there won't be a whole lot of expenses other than taxes, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
They will never end.
Well, that's great, though, because you're keeping your lifestyle modest, which is going to take the pressure off in terms of, the income that you need to cover your monthly expenses. Tell me about that mortgage. How much do you still owe on it?
I owe a little bit under $100,000.
All right.
And I've got enough invested from my previous employments from working contracts after the Army. So I've got enough invested that I could just write a check tomorrow if I needed to and pay it off and still have a little cushion left over.
Okay. And is that in retirement accounts, Wayne, or do you have that money outside of retirement accounts in a taxable account?
Yes, they're in Roth IRAs.
Okay.
And I've got smidgen of a traditional IRA left. We recently drew out a little bit. I had an accident not too long ago and had to give up a good portion of that to replace my truck. And but my Roth IRAs have kind of continued to build ever since I started them 20-odd years ago.
Yeah.
And of course, they're not doing real well right now because of the economy and everything. I've probably lost more than I've gained through them.
Sure. Yeah, I guess that would be my only thought there is I'd love for you to wait for those to come back before you were to think about beginning to pull out to pay off your mortgage rather than doing that right away. There's not any taxable implications of you pulling that money out if it's in a Roth, but you don't want to miss the recovery, which I think, you know, over the next 12 months or so you will experience. So I'd probably hang tight. Perhaps that recovery syncs up with when you're entering retirement, which is when, you know, you'd want to have your expenses as low as possible. So I'd look at that. Going back to the Medicare for a moment, as I mentioned, the VA recommends you sign up for Medicare. It offers more coverage. If you got a supplemental plan like Medicare Advantage, probably for no more than you're paying for Parts A and B, you might not need the VA care at all. People say VA care is excellent once you get in to see a doctor, but the wait can be pretty long. So I think that's perhaps another option for you to look at, just to consider. Obviously, the healthcare piece of this could be your largest expense in your financial life once that mortgage is paid off. So you just want to make sure you have the care you need moving forward. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes absolute sense. And basically that kind of shores up my way of thinking. And I was just kind of looking before I get to that retirement stage for somebody to confirm or deny the direction I was going. And I think you've done a good job explaining that.
Awesome. Well, the only other thing I would say, Wayne, is just ask the Lord what he has for you in this next season of life. As you think about retiring to something and not from something, you've want to take all the wisdom and experience and opportunity you have to continue to serve the Lord and just hold that with an open hand. And I'm excited for you to enter into this next season. Thank you for your service, sir, as well. We appreciate your call today.
Oh, you bet. And thank you so much for taking my call.
All right. God bless you. Folks, we'd love to hear from you today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're going to head into our first break. When we come back, we've got time to tackle your question. What are you thinking about today? Let's apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and help you make some decisions to move forward. You know, with a seemingly unlimited number of financial choices, there's only a few things we can do with money. We can live on it, give it away. There's the money we owe and the money we grow. God's word speaks to all of it. We'll talk about those principles just around the corner. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West. You know, a biblical worldview begins and ends with a stewardship mentality. Biblical stewardship is the use of God-given gifts and resources, that is, our time, our talent, our influence, our relationships, and yes, our money, for the accomplishment of God-given goals and objectives. Once we give our lives to Christ, it's then about faithfulness to opportunity. What has He given us to manage, and can we be faithful and obedient in that over a long period of time? Well, the only way we're going to do that is when we go back to God's Word to understand what He says about His role as provider and our role as manager or steward, and money as a tool to accomplish His purposes. Well, let's talk about that related to what's going on in your financial life today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you, whether it's your giving plan, maybe it's paying down debt, your long-term investments, or saving for retirement, whatever it might be today. Again, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. All right, let's head to North Carolina. Hi, Rose. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. My husband is retired, and he's collecting his Social Security check.
Yes.
And he has worked for 40 years. I was told that I could also receive maybe partial of his Social Security check based on his Social Security income. If that's true, then what do I need to do to receive those Social Security funds?
Yeah, very good. Rose, are you at full retirement age yourself?
I stayed home with the kids a lot, and so I only have like 15 years to retire from the state.
Okay.
As far as state retirement, and so I'm waiting till I'm 70 to receive full Social Security, because
yeah,
I would need full Social Security.
Very good. Well, you have the option to go ahead and take your spousal benefit based on his work record, because he's collecting Social Security now. So you can get up to 50% of his benefit if you're full retirement age and he's collecting. So that would be a great option, because you have the ability to take your portion of his, your spousal benefit, and let yours, based on your own work record, continue to grow until age 70. So as it grows by 8% a year, if when you elect to start taking that, the Social Security Administration will look to see which one is higher. You're able to take the higher of the two. And so it could be, and this is a great strategy that a lot of folks use, they start with the spousal benefit based on their spouse's work record. Once they start collecting, let theirs continue to grow, and then oftentimes they'll switch over to collect on their own benefit because it's higher. And the Social Security Administration will automatically do that for you once you reach age 70 and start collecting. So basically, you just want to reach out to the Social Security Administration, let them know that you want to begin collecting based on your spousal benefit, and let yours continue to grow, and then you'll start receiving that check.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, Rose, thank you for calling today. 800-525-7000 to Texas. Hey, Mark, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Doing great.
Good, good. Question. I've never really put anything back for retirement at all. I've never worked for a company long enough to where I, started doing any type of profit sharing or anything. So basically, I'm at the point, I'm 60 years old, and I don't really have anything to look forward to. Obviously, if I was able to retire, would be the Social Security, and I know that's not going to be any much of anything. So I just kind of, at this point, which is late in life, what I could probably start trying to do, or to have maybe a little extra, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand, Mark. And just know you're in the same boat that a lot of folks are, where, you're headed toward retirement, and because of life and expenses and just trying to keep up with everything going on around you, haven't been able to put away the money you wish you had. And so now we're just trying to figure out how do we move forward from here. Let me ask you, do you have a retirement plan available at work, something you could contribute to?
No. I'm an independent contractor. I've been pretty much working 1099 for the last, 12 to 15 years.
Okay.
So it's just I've never established anything. My wife does, but she works, but obviously I can't contribute.
All right.
We can't contribute any more than what her income is. So.
Yeah, very good. You could really try to limit your lifestyle. That's going to be key. Reduce your expenses as much as possible so that you can put away as much as you possibly can. I'd love for her to be able to max out her contributions. You could open what's called a SEP IRA, S-E-P IRA. That would allow you to put in either 25% of your compensation or, for this year, $66,000. And so that gives you a good bit that you could put away as, you know, you have those funds available. Do you have a bit of a surplus that you could sock away, Mark?
I have a little bit, you know, but it's not, you know, a large amount. You know, it's, I've got some saved and I've got a probably over 5,000 saved. You know,
okay.
Right now. So,
okay. Well, you could start with just a Roth IRA and go ahead and drop that in. You could, if you haven't filed your 2022 return, you could go ahead and put in 6,000 for last year. If you're, well, you're over the age of 50, so you could put in an extra 1,000 there. And then for this year, you can put in up to 7,500. So between the two, you could put away, $14,500 for 2022 and 2023. And you could open one of those with Fidelity or Schwab and put them in, you know, the money in one of their robo-advisors. So I think the key is just, again, keep your expenses as lean as possible. Start socking away as much as you can between you and your wife. That, you know, will build up. And then obviously the longer you can delay retiring is going to be key, because that just really takes the pressure off you having to start to draw from any of these assets you're able to put away. And it gives you more working years to build up your Social Security, which I think will be important. For every year you wait beyond full retirement age, that check will grow by 8%. And that'll be really helpful just to maximize every dollar there. And that guaranteed increase, I think, will really be something that, you know, you'll value as you rely heavily on Social Security, which wasn't intended to cover more than 40% of our pre-retirement income. So I think delaying Social Security, keeping your lifestyle at a minimum, go ahead and dial into that budget, figure out what it's going to cost you to live. When you get to that point, save as much as you can. Wait till age 70 to take Social Security. I think those are really the keys for you right now. I'm confident the Lord will help you get there, Mark, just one day at a time. We appreciate you calling today. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app.
Dear 1 million moms, I've always thought that maybe your organization was making a mountain out of a molehill. But today, I cannot believe what I just saw on my TV.
Concerned about the trash flowing into your home through today's media that simply will not censor itself? Make your voice heard. If you see trash in the media, tell us. Use the Submit Trash button at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com. And thanks.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Looks like one line open, 800-525-7000. You know, have you thought about the fact that money is a tool in our life? God uses money in my life to teach me to rely on Him, to put my security in Him. It's a daily demonstration as we manage His money of our faith. What is important to us? What do we value? Where have we placed our trust? Money tells a story about each of those things as we allocate it, and our financial journey influences our spiritual journey as God grows us up and we live in the tension, answering the question, how much is enough and how much should I give away and what's the right lifestyle for me? Those questions are answered in God's word with principles, but not definitives, because we need to be on our knees before the Lord saying, God, how should I use what you've given to me? Well, that's what we talk about here on this program. And by the way, there's a ton of articles, videos, and podcasts on our website that speak to all of the issues related to money management. If you haven't checked it out, check out faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. You can click on our content page and look at all of the wonderful content, the best in Christian finance, where we aggregate content from the leading voices in biblical finance. You can also download our app while you're there, and you can make a gift. Faith and Finance is a listener-supported ministry, and if you come to count on this program each day, well, you can make a gift while you're there quickly and securely. Just click the Give button. It's all there at faithfi.com. We'd love for you to check it out today. All right, back to the phones. We go to Iowa. Hey, John, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Rob? I am blessed every day to be able to hear your show, I'll tell you that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So listen, my mom turns 83 today. Today's her birthday.
Wow.
And she's still very mentally sharp, okay. Physically fragile. She's still living at home by herself. She lost her husband here a while back, but we're worried about protecting her assets. She has four children, you know, as far as like nursing homes and things like that. You know, she's, I also keep dripping on her about stewardship opportunities, of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, paying it forward. And, you know, I know that it's possible to, you know, gift, you know, your children a certain amount of money, whether, I don't know, $13,000-$15,000 a year or whatever. But so far we, you know, have got nowhere with that. So she's not a very trusting individual, let's put it that way. So I didn't know if you had any ideas for, you know, her or maybe other people in the same situation, you know. She's already had some health issues. She seems to be fine now, but you never know, you know.
Yeah. What are her assets? Give me just kind of a quick overview of what she has.
Well, she has, you know, a couple annuities. She has some pretty sizable CDs. You know, obviously she's collecting Social Security. She's doing her mandatory withdrawals, some IRAs.
Yeah.
She's pretty well off financially, owns her own home, and, you know, she could go to the bank tomorrow and take out $300,000 in cash and not even blink an eye. So,
you know,
there's some concerns about all that, you know.
Yeah. And so what is the main thing you're looking for her to be able to shore up? Is it an estate plan in terms of the distribution of her assets? Because obviously she's not going to come anywhere close to, you know, being eligible for Medicaid benefits. I mean, you can only have an income of up to $2,382 a month and assets of $2,000. You know, your house isn't counted as an asset, but, you know, often right. folks are looking at irrevocable trust, things like that, to protect assets. But in this case, it sounds like she's got plenty of resources. Whereas if she does need, you know, long-term care, which could get costly, she would, you know, have the assets she needs to be able to cover that. I think the key for her is just to, you know, keep her lifestyle at a minimum, to be able to maximize these assets for as long as she possibly can, have a will. You know, if you all wanted to put a trust in place, an irrevocable trust, then these assets could pass outside of the probate court without an executor and go directly to the beneficiaries that she selects. And that could, the management of her affairs could be done even prior to death if she was incapacitated, or even beyond her life based on her wishes spelled out in the trust document. So that would be one option. Of course, she can do some gifting, but as you said, it doesn't sound like she's terribly excited about that. She does have the ability to do up to $17,000 a year per person without telling the IRS about it. Beyond that, it would just go against her lifetime exemption of $12 million. So still no gift or estate taxes to worry about there, up to $12 million. So that would just be a matter of filing a gift tax return just to let them know that she's done that. But apart from that, it, you know, I think the key would be just to have a good and valid will that's up to date. Again, whether or not a trust is needed is up to you all in terms of having the ability to control her assets prior to her death. And then beyond that would be just a healthcare surrogate, a living will to express her end of life wishes, perhaps a durable, you know, power of attorney. Those types of things, I think, would be key if she doesn't have those.
Yeah, I don't think she has the a power of attorney yet. You know, living will, I think, you know, she has that. Obviously, she has a will. Yeah, it didn't take long for a nursing home to, you know, 6 years in a nursing home, she'd be wiped out and they'd take her house on top of it. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So it sounds like things are pretty well covered then on in her situation. I don't hear anything else that you guys are missing. So I think she sounds like she's in pretty good shape.
Well, what if she took $300,000 out of the bank and all of a sudden developed a gambling problem?
Well, yeah.
Does the IRS track that, do they?
Well, sure. I mean, there's with those kinds of withdrawals, there would be some tracking that's gone on, going on there. But, you know, I think the key would be, I mean, they have got a 5-year look back on any of that kind of stuff with Medicaid. So they would see those transactions going on there with that kind of money flowing through there. So again, that's where a trust could be an option. And I'd probably connect with a godly estate attorney just to talk through any concerns you have there and make sure that legally you have the right pieces in place.
Very good. Well, I appreciate the help.
All right, John. Thanks for calling, my friend. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you. Quickly to Arkansas. Hi, Gail. How can we help you?
Good morning. Doing well. Thank you. Hey, I got a question. My husband, we're both in our 50s. I'm recently retired teacher, and he has some health issues. Social Security is trying to determine if he's disabled, and we've been blessed. We've got a pretty good amount of money in the 401k and a couple of annuities. Question is, we're partially started building a new house and downsizing. And is it better to take the money out of the 401k and take the penalty to pay for it up front, or worst case scenario, we can hang on and see if Social Security makes a determination. And then it's my understanding you don't have to pay the penalty if he's determined disabled. Is that correct?
In terms of an early 401k withdrawal?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What are your ages?
We're in our 50s, mid-50s.
Okay, yeah, so you're not 59 and a half. Yeah, there may be an option there depending upon, you know, the situation with his health and that determination for you to miss that 10% penalty. But in either case, I'd be a little hesitant in you all pulling this money out because you're going to take a big tax hit. I'd definitely spread it over a couple of years, and I'd rather you let that money continue to grow, especially if you've seen a decline in the last year like everybody else. So I'd probably leave that there, continue to contribute and finance part of the house if you need to, and then wait to do anything until you get a resolution on your husband's Social Security issue. I'd probably just sit tight for now and let that unfold. We appreciate your call, Gail. I've got to hit a break, but we'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
This is a unique moment in the history of our country where we have an opportunity to restore the foundations of this nation.
Tony Perkins of Washington Watch.
To a nation that once again honors God. It will not happen unless God's people are informed and engaged.
Join Tony Perkins for Washington Watch. Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evening at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year, and for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You know, money, it's a tool, it's a test, and it's a testimony. That's right, it's a testimony to the world. Our faith in uncertain times is a testimony to the people around us. Our willingness to trust God when we have little and to share generously when we have much is witness to an unbelieving world. Think about the role of money in your life. Hold it loosely, give it generously, and here's the reality: that will break the grip of money over your life. God's word, there are clear warnings around how money can compete with our lordship, and putting God in first place in our lives, often if something is going to derail that, it's going to be money. Well, we don't want to do that. We want to operate from a biblical worldview, which understands that everything we have is a gracious gift from God. And when we hold it loosely and give it generously, well, it puts everything into perspective. Hey, before we head back to the phones today, it's a Monday, which means our good friend Bob Dahl stops by. Bob is Chief Investment Officer of Crossmark Global Investments. He joins us each Monday with his market analysis. And Bob, good morning to you, sir.
And to you, love your three F's for money.
I hear you. Hey, it's a big week, CPI tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, lots of focus on the CPI. Will it be a negative surprise? There's fear that it would be. That's what crept into the market and sold it off late last week. And today we're seeing a rally as people are saying, don't worry about it. Inflation's coming down. So who knows?
Yeah.
It's clear to us inflation's coming down, but it's not going to be a straight line, Rob.
Yeah. Bob, we haven't talked about the supply chain in a while. Obviously, a lot of the challenges that we'd faced during the COVID COVID shutdowns have worked their way through the system. And yet I was reading this morning about many of the logistics managers warning of persistent inflation in the supply chain. Some of the storage costs, the ocean freight rates, the transportation fuels, they're warning that perhaps we haven't seen the end of that, and that's going to continue to impact consumers. What are your thoughts on that piece of our economy?
Thoroughly agree. It has created, among other things, confusion. You know, I think I've said this before. When we shut down the economy, we turn the light switch off. And when we turn the economy back on, we turn the light switch on, but not all the lights came on. Some were blinking, some had to be replaced. And that's the supply chain story. Bumpy, not uniform. In fact, we're going to see that as China now is reopening. It's going to be bumpy largely because of the supply chain issues. We're solving them, Rob. They're getting better, but we got a long way to go to complete that solve.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Bob, what about on the international front? I know you were out in your deliberations today saying don't underestimate the risks associated with the deepening Cold War between the U.S. and China. I'd love for your thoughts on you to share your thoughts on that, plus anything else you're looking at internationally.
Yeah, these geopolitical issues are always low probability events, but if they happen, the consequences can be big. You know, these unidentified flying objects over the last few days that we're shooting down, you know, what's behind all that? If we know, we're not being told, but I'm not sure we even know. It's precarious when the number one and number two countries in the world aren't getting along, and we're not. And China's got lots of internal problem issues, declining population, financing problems over real estate. And so it's hard to know how this is going to pan out over time. But just imagine if China-U.S. trade, Rob, were cut in half because the two countries were getting along. That's not good news. That could spur a recession.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Bob, as we focus then on this macro environment, I know you believe, and many do, that the situation is improving. Perhaps that's going to delay this mild recession we've been expecting, but no doubt there's still going to be pressure on equities just because we still have rich valuations, right?
That's my argument, along with the Fed did a lot last year, the second fastest raise in interest rates in U.S. history. And that change impacts the economy with long and unpredictable lags. So I think the combination of stocks are not particularly cheap, and the Fed has already engineered what is likely to create some softness sometime this year, caused me to be a little cautious.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Bob, always appreciate your insights, my friend. Hope it's a great week, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds great. Bye.
All right. Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can sign up for his Dahl's Deliberations at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, back to the phones here on our final segment. We'll get to as many calls as we can. To Texas we go. Hey, Jerry, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob, thank you so much. I'm calling for my son. He's 14 years old, and he gets a check from Social Security every month for survivor benefits because my wife passed away about 18 months ago. So the check is, I mean, it's not a check, it's a deposit of about $750 a month.
Yeah.
And so we pay tithes on it, leave it in the bank account. It's $11,000. It's growing fast. And in the bank, it's getting a whopping 10 cents a month interest. But it seems like there ought to be something better we could do with that. But I have no idea what.
Yeah. Jerry, are you wanting to earmark it specifically for something like college?
No, sir. We'll let him make that decision as we get closer. Okay. He's in the eighth grade now.
Yeah. All right. And what would you say would be the time horizon on this money? Do you think this is money that you're looking at least 5 years down the road that he would be accessing, perhaps even like 10? Or do you want it available sooner than that?
He graduates high school in about 4 years, about 4 years and a few months.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at that time, he could decide if he needed transportation, needed to go to school.
Yeah.
What?
Very good. Well, you've got a couple of options. I mean, if you want to keep it outside of earmarking it for college, you wouldn't want to put it in a 529 plan. And then I think the next question is to say, okay, do we want to invest it? Is this an opportunity to take advantage of this market, which is still down well off its highs because of the challenging year we had last year and put that money to work. Generally, you'd want at least a 5-year time horizon on that. But given the fact that, you know, we've got a market that is down quite a bit, if you were to take a 4 to 5-year time horizon, I think you could see some growth in that. A couple of years down the road, perhaps 3 years, you'd want to start to move that into a more conservative posture if you thought he was going to need to pull it out, you know, for college. That would be one option. And if you wanted to do that, I'd probably look to, you know, open an account at Schwab or Fidelity, use one of the robo-advisors to capture the broad market with just a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio using exchange-traded funds that'll just track the major stock and bond market indexes. And it's very simple. It's low cost. You'd pay about 20 basis points or 1/5 of 1%, and you could just capture the recovery of this market whenever that happens. It may go down more before it goes up, so you'd have to be ready for that, and he would too. But if you said, no, we want to take a more sure and steady approach to it, and we don't want the risk of loss, well, then at that point, you'd be looking at, you know, just putting this in CDs, maybe at 4.5%, 4.75%, locking it up for 18 months at a time, and then maybe rolling it over to take advantage of new rates once the money comes due. You wouldn't have the risk of loss, and you could make sure that you've got that money available. One other option would be what are called I-bonds, inflation bonds, through treasurydirect.gov. These are backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, right now paying 6.89%. That number is going to come down. You know, he would only have that for 6 months, and then it would be based on whatever the new consumer price index is as of May of this year. It's probably going to be, you know, somewhere between 4% and 6%, but that would at least give him the ability to get a little bit more rate of return without any risk. He'd have to leave that money in there, though, for at least 12 months. And you could open that account for him as a custodial account at treasurydirect.gov. So I'd say one of those three options. Which one sounds like it's the best fit for what you're looking for?
Well, if we're not afraid of risk, would the robo-advisors and in the broad market be more gain?
Absolutely. Yeah, you'd have much more potential to see this money grow. You certainly have the risk of principal loss anytime you're investing. But yeah, as long as you have a 5-year time horizon, especially given where this market is today, I would say you have the ability to see some growth in that. And it would be a great teaching opportunity for you and him as well.
Okay.
All right.
That's great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's called the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. I'd check those out when you open that account at Charles Schwab. You can do that in his name. It'll be a custodial account, and then that becomes his asset at the age of majority. Thanks for your call today, sir, and I'm so sorry to hear about your wife's passing. Let's head to Ohio. Hey, Aaron, thanks for your patience, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for your time. So I was going to buy a new car, or I should say a used car off of a friend of mine. And somebody told me I should put it into a trust and not into my name. That would take away liability. I was slightly confused by that statement. I'm not really educated when it comes to a lot of that stuff. I didn't know what your thoughts would be.
Yeah, so is that the ultimate objective in terms of why you would consider that, is because of liability?
Yeah, I don't think it's really a financial thing. Because I'm not really worried about losing it. I'm not putting any payments on it or anything.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, I that wouldn't accomplish the purpose you're talking about. That reasoning doesn't in any way protect your assets. Really, it would just handle you avoiding probate, and so it would provide an efficient way for you to pass this asset outside of the probate courts if something were to happen to you. So I wouldn't necessarily take that extra step. Plus, that cost of that trust is going to run you somewhere between $1,500 and $2,000. So I really don't see any benefit of you doing that. I'd probably just buy it in your name, put as much as you can down, and try to pay it off as quick as you can. But I don't see any reason for a trust, in my view.
Do you think they were referring to if you would lose a car financially, it wouldn't? That's why they were recommending that?
You mean in terms of your credit?
Well, yeah, if you wouldn't be making your payments, yes.
No, it's still going to flow through back to you. I don't think you would have any benefit there. You could always check with an estate attorney, but I think I would just buy it straight outright. Aaron, thanks for your call today, my friend. God bless you. Folks, that's going to do it for us. So thankful for my team today, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Have a great day. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll do it all over again. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.